Gum it, Mike. All right. Oh, amen. Thank you. The Apostle Paul writes a wonderful letter to a church in Ephesus. How do you begin your letters? How do you begin your letters to some close friends? This is the way Paul began his. With, of all things, he started with a prayer. Before he got into any of his commandments, encouragements, criticisms, weaknesses, anything he wanted to launch into, he started his letter with a prayer. What a wonderful example for us this morning. It's good advice for us. What would it be like as we relate to one another, to our family and to our friends, before we give them any praise or commendation, any criticism or any words of correction, if we were to say to them first, just a minute, I want to tell you that I'm praying for you. And I want to tell you what I'm praying for. It's the right thing to do. Because as we pray for one another, we take attention away from our earthly struggles and direct each other to God. And on this All Saints Day, when we take a look at our connection to the early church, I want us to think that Paul's letter and Paul's prayer to the church at Ephesus is actually a prayer for each one of us this morning. So what does Paul pray for? He prays that their eyes might be illumined. He prays that their eyes might be opened to the things that God wants to show them, to the great mysteries of God. He reminds the church at Ephesus and reminds us that there is a difference between seeing something and really, really seeing something. Let me give you a couple examples. The first is a little girl in kindergarten who was learning to write her ABCs and learning what sound goes with each one of those letters. Imagine, if you will, a little girl who learns to write her A perfectly with those three lines. And she can see that A. But it's not until she can understand how that A works, and when you put it next to a C and a T, it makes cat, and read it and understand it and appreciate it, can she launch into the world of books and ideas and opinions and go into that wonderful world of adulthood where she can engage thoughts, learn ideas, and learn about the mysteries of the world. There's a difference between seeing letters on a page and really seeing ideas and thoughts on a page. Let me give you another example. This one's of a football coach who's preparing his team for an big inner city matchup. And in that pre-game strategy session, he takes that team into that huddle in the locker room and brings out a chalkboard and writes X's and O's all over the chalkboard, instructing each and every fella. Now, this is what you have to do in this situation. Make sure you watch out for number 52, because he's really speedy. Now, in this situation, you do this. In this situation, you do that. And all the while, he knows that there is one moment when he has to let that team go and hope that they do more than just see the strategy on the board, but that they really, really see the game plan unfold. When they internalize the coach's words and the coach's vision and play as a team and work toward a common goal and make that coach's chalkboard a part of themselves. There's a difference between seeing the X's and O's and acting out the X's and O's. The Christian life can be a lot like learning to read or preparing for a big game. One can go throughout their entire lives going through the motions, developing a good understanding of the Christian life. We can try to live the right life, believe the right doctrines, know the right answers, just as they were taught to us by our pastors, our teachers, our parents, our relatives, but not until we learn to live and understand the Christian life and act out the Christian life. Can we really see it? Can we really see the Christian life? And that's what Paul's prayer is for the church at Ephesus. That their eyes may be illumined. That they may see their walk with God in a way that they have never seen it before. And he prays for three things in particular. He prays for hope, he prays for their heritage, and he prays for power. Hope. It's one of the great attributes of the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says that there are three great qualities to the Christian life. You know what they are. Their faith, their hope, and their love. But hope, I think, is one of the most difficult things to see. As Leonard Griffith once said, hope is the driving power of the Christian life. A Christian without hope is like a car without gasoline. And the hope that Paul speaks about is the hope that slowly but surely we are becoming more and more like Christ. That with all of our problems and our struggles and our traumas, all of the hills and valleys that we face, the hope for the Christian is that every moment we are becoming more saintly. More and more in the image of Jesus, so that we can glorify the God who created us in the image of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Philippians that he is confident of this very thing, that the one who began a good work in each one of us will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. These are wonderful words for any of us who are newfound infants in Christ, or some of us who are nearing the finish line of that great race. God's not through with you yet. There are more things to show you, more lessons to teach you, and more ways to teach them. The hope that you have is that you're going somewhere in your Christian journey. And that place that you're going is to the image of Christ. You can also hope that you're going to an eternal home. Remember the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians that he says, if the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, a house eternal in the heavens. Glory, hallelujah, there is a place waiting for us. And on this day when we celebrate those who have gone before us and gone up to their eternal home, we must remember that we are going to that place too, proclaiming our worship to the God who loves us, a God who has fashioned for us a mansion in heaven. There is many reasons to be hopeful today. The second thing he prays for is that their illumined eyes might see the glorious inheritance of the saints, our past heritage, the traditions passed down to us from the earliest generation. When you become a Christian, you become part of a grand family. You know, one of the conversations that we had at the beach house in the past week was Scotty and Edna talking about the Bradford family. Remember that? They were sharing with me one of the earliest settlers of this land, the Bradfords, and how you can still see the very tops of their family tree around here today. Some of the roads and other things that are named after them. We have a lot to owe the Bradford family as Tallahassee citizens. But we are reminded this morning on All Saints Day that we are part of a Christian family that is grander and greater and bigger than any human family could ever be. For we who are brothers and sisters in Christ share a relationship with all of those who have come before us. Our spiritual ancestors are the ones who gathered 165 years ago right there at the Brush Arbor to found what would eventually become Bethel United Methodist Church. Our spiritual ancestors are that small collection of college kids in Oxford University in the 18th century, one of whom was John Wesley, who would begin to light the passionate flame that would become the United Methodist Church. Our spiritual ancestors is that church community that gathered in Jerusalem and waited for the Pentecost flame to come down upon them. That Pentecost moment was the birth of our church. Our spiritual ancestors are the wandering nomads who left Egypt and wandered through the wilderness to eventually claim the promised land. We share a common heritage, a common ancestry, and it is good for us to remember them on this All Saints Day. One of the women at the beach, in talking about heaven, said that she's looking forward to going up to heaven and seeing her great-great-great-great-grandmother, a woman that she had never met before, but to whom she owed so much. And what a wonderful moment it will be when we go up to heaven and see the family that we never met, but who was responsible for our existence on earth. What a glorious image that will be. And how much more so when we think about our spiritual family, when we can go up and ask all of our spiritual ancestors what it was like. Moses, what was it like to stand in front of that burning bush and to see something you've never seen? Peter, what was it like to walk out on that water and then to start sinking? Ruth, what was it like to have all the odds stacked against you, but for you to stay with your mother-in-law and exercise incredible faith? We are part of a great, great family. And so Paul's prayer for us is that we can open our eyes and see with illumined vision the saints that have gathered at the river with us. Finally, Paul prays for hope, Paul prays for our heritage, and Paul prays that we might see with illumined eyes the power of God. When we think of power, we can think of a number of different things. We can think of the President of the United States, whose very finger can press a red button and start World War III. Or his pen can enact legislation that we've never had before. Or you might think of power as a rocket ship hauling hunks of metal up to the heavens and making it to orbit. Those are all powers that we can see. But God's power is something that we need to see with illumined eyes. Here's an illustration. Several years ago, there was a wonderful preacher and teacher who developed a condition where he couldn't speak anymore because he had throat cancer. The cancer threatened not only his career, but his life. And I want to let you know that today he lectures and he preaches and he teaches because of a power that came upon his life. Some doctors back in those days decided that they would try something that's never been tried before. That they would use, of all things, a cobalt bomb and focus the powerful rays of that bomb on his throat. The rays of the bomb destroyed the malignancy and gave him back his voice and his health. Now think about that. Something powerful like a cobalt bomb that could destroy trees and fields and people with massive destruction, focused to give someone, a single person, new life. Just imagine this unimaginable power scaled down and focused for one person's benefit. That's a miracle. And the miracle of the power of God is that God's power is more powerful than a million cobalt bombs. And when it's unleashed, it has the power to produce massive life, not massive death. This great power that produced stars and planets and animals and oceans and even human beings is available personally and individually for each one of you. God has chosen to focus this massive power on each and every one of you to help you with your problems, to show you new life, to help you along your journey. That is an incredible, incalculable power, and it's a miracle. On this day, when we celebrate the saints of the church, we also recognize the important task of stewardship and of our financial giving. And my prayer for you is that you might look at this stewardship campaign with illumined eyes. It is easy to see this as just another fundraising effort, just another tool to have money given to the church, just another budgetary goal. And if we were to see the stewardship campaign with earthly eyes, we might become, as so many have become, disillusioned, guilted, tricked, betrayed by the church. But let's see this stewardship campaign with illumined eyes. Let us see it as an opportunity to give to God, not to the church. To give so as to remember all of God's goodness and all of God's grace and blessings. And to give not to meet a budget, but to grow in our spiritual life. And to give out of a grateful heart, not a guilty conscience. Let us live and give so as to remember our future hope. Let us live and give so as to celebrate our past. Let us live and give so as to live in the power of the present. Let us live and give each day to remember the incalculable power that God has given to each one of us. With illumined eyes. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.